I think the main advice I give myself is just to not give up and keep striving and stay sober.
Few artists have dared to bare their soul like Juice WRLD.
That's just a part of me touching on emotions that people really be scared to touch on.
His triumphant rise, paired with introspective lyrics that felt ripped from the pages of a diary.
I could express myself in song sometimes more than I could talk, you know?
And his tragic death built a legacy that's both massive and painfully fragile.
This morning, so many questions as to how a seemingly healthy 21-year-old could die so unexpectedly.
Through his music, Juice invited us into his world of triumph and torment, laying his vulnerability bare for all to see.
He was saying, like, basically, like he wanted to die some shit, man.
This is the story of Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD's story starts in Chicago, born December 2nd, 1998, as Jared Anthony Higgins. His parents' divorce at age 3 was just the beginning of life's hard lessons. Raised by his devout, conservative mom in the South suburbs, Juice grew up in a house where hip-hop was banned like contraband. So he found inspiration in unexpected places. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Guitar Hero. Those games opened his ears to rock icons like Billy Idol and Black Sabbath. It wasn't the playlist of a future rap icon, but it taught him one thing. Rules were made to be broken. His music journey, however, started even earlier. At 4 years old, his mom signed him up for piano lessons, unknowingly setting the stage for his future career. By middle school, he wasn't just playing piano anymore. He was shredding on the guitar, smashing the drums, and even rocking the trumpet in band class.
How'd you start rapping? Because I seen a video of you rapping for over an hour, freestyling for an hour. So how'd you start rapping?
I was on Tim Westwood's show.
Tim Westwood's show.
Tim Westwood.
Rocking you. I ain't gonna lie. It really started because my mom was, she used to be super strict when I was like a little kid on the music I could listen to. And I used to go over to my cousin's crib and bump Wayne, Gucci, Jeezy, Juelz, you know what I'm saying, everything. And I'd come back home and be reciting the lyrics in my head and forget some of them. And then I just add my own lyrics in there to fill it. Mm-hmm. And then that's just how I started. I was like 4 or 5 years old doing that. So like eventually I started freestyling on some random shit and I got good at it. Mm-hmm. And I just... it's always been something I was able to do.
Then he discovered Lean, and with it came a darker shift.
What is Lean? Lean is a slang term for codeine cough syrup. It's also known by the names of Purple Drank and Scissor. And it's a form of opiate that has been popularized in southern rap scenes of Houston and Atlanta. Codeine is a milder opiate, but it's still addictive and can be lethal when mixed with alcohol. Lean also contains promethazine, which is a prescription antihistamine that, while not addictive in itself, can be very harmful in large doses.
You always had issues with drugs even before you started to get famous and rich?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was something that I was into early, low-key, due to music. Because, like, I was a music head, so, like, in 6th grade, 7th grade, I'm hearing songs about sipping lean. Those are, like, the real influential years, I feel like, especially for, like, a boy. Mm. Like, finding out who your role models are, what you like, basketball, football. That's, like, when you start kind of choosing the dreams you want to chase, damn near.
Right.
It depends on your usage, bro. Like, some people could drink casually, sip casually all their lives and be perfectly okay. Because I feel like if you sip casually, it's identical to what alcohol does to your liver if you get drunk.
Yeah.
But you have those people that take it to the extreme. Like, for the example, I think Wayne had said after a while, he wasn't even pouring codeine with pop. He was drinking it straight out the bottle, like drinking it raw.
Things only got worse in high school.
He just didn't have and focus like in school. He hated school. Very, very smart. But he didn't like the idea of school. So it was always a struggle with him in school and, you know, skipping school, skipping classes. So I always had to have a plan for him.
Struggling in school, he was eventually prescribed meds for focus, but that spiraled into addiction to Percocet and Xanax.
In high school, he had therapy because he had impulsive behavior. So I had him see a psychologist. So he was used to communicating and really getting in touch with his feelings.
Still, high school wasn't all bad. It's where his entertainment career truly began.
My school has a radio show, and when I first decided to like become a rapper, I was on there, and I would like freestyle. Oh, it was ran by my homie Jalen. He was another artist at my school, and he just kind of created a platform for me to like freestyle, like just to get it out a little bit. So, you know, shout out to Jalen. He's in the military now. Shout out to Jalen.
Eventually, as a freshman, armed with just a cell phone, Juice recorded and uploaded his first track forever on SoundCloud under the name Juice the Kid.
Well, my music is like, I don't overthink it. Music is really just, people love to hear something that came out that was good, that's good, that's natural, that doesn't sound forced, that sounds authentic. People love that.
His name was inspired by Tupac's legendary role in the film Juice, where savage ambition and survival collide. It was a fitting tribute to a rap icon and a signal of Juice's own hunger to rise above his struggles and claim his place in the music world.
Shit.
From 1991, featuring Big Daddy Kane.
Hey.
Because you are Juice.
World, man.
And here is the Juice soundtrack.
What the fuck? This is like one of my favorite movies. This is one of the reasons I got my name. For sure, I had his haircut. This is wild. This is crazy. You're like blessing me right now, bro. This is crazy as fuck.
After rebranding as Juice World, he dropped his debut full-length EP 999 in June 2017. The standout track, Lucid Dreams, became a breakthrough hit, skyrocketing his popularity and setting the stage for his rise to stardom.
Funny, because I wrote that song in like 15 minutes. And then on the original mixtape that it was on, I didn't think that was going to be the, like, it was just another song. Like, obviously, I liked it enough to put it on the project, but I didn't think that was going to be the smash. Like I said, Lucid Dreams, I wasn't rushing to write that song. I wrote it in 15 minutes. Some of the best songs I've like dropped, I've made in like 15, 20 minutes. It's just off the strength of my work ethic.
And yet, this was only the prologue. His journey to greatness was only beginning. With 999, Juice WRLD found his stride. Released just as he graduated high school and stepped into adulthood, the EP gave him an audience. As Lucid Dreams went viral, riding the haunting waves of Sting's Shape of My Heart, Juice looked like a fresh face with an old, classy, and sensitive heart.
When I was making the song, actually the original sample, Sting, Shape of My Heart, I was watching a movie, The Professional, Leon the Professional. It was an outro song. I heard it. I thought it was crazy. I had to flip it into my own beat. That's when I heard it. And then, yeah, that's pretty much where I got the sample from.
Sting himself was flattered about the sample, and it hinted at Juice's knack for drawing from the past to craft something new.
Are you familiar with Lucid Dreams?
Of course I am,
from
yeah.
Juice WRLD. And what are your thoughts on that song?
I love that version. I mean, that song's been covered easily 50 times, maybe more. But that's probably my favorite.
It's laudable that Juice drew inspiration from music that came out long before he was born. But while the instrumentation has depth, his lyrics often stick to familiar themes. Designer clothes, cash, women, and drugs. Territory well tread by his auto-tuned contemporaries.
I could do what I want with a song. If I had a good idea, like a good mindset, I could make like lit music, you know what I'm saying? Even if I'm talking about something that's completely random, it's the energy that the song has that'll make it a good song. How do you think people get on the radio with saying one word for 2 minutes? Bitch, bitch, bitch. They're generating a lot of good vibes, so the bitch sounds kind of hard on the song.
Thanks. And on songs like Lost Her, the constant repetition doesn't come across as clever minimalism. It feels like he's grasping for words. Juice WRLD had the tools to break the mold, but was still learning how to use them. Looking back, 999 feels more like a demo than a polished album. A rough draft that, against all odds and maybe even a bit prematurely, blasted Juice WRLD into a realm of fame and success he wasn't yet ready for. Proof that the universe loves a wild card.
What I felt when my music started to take off was just kind of like this feeling of, it was real, like, surreal, you know? It was almost like I couldn't believe it was happening. I wasn't going to ever sell out, but just trying to put out my version of, like, what I think is, like, a polished product.
Right.
So I never really had that thought in my mind, like, oh, what if they don't? Because it was almost as if they like it, they like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't really, like, nervous about it at all.
December 2017 marked another milestone with the release of the 3-song EP, Nothing's Different. One track, All Girls Are the Same, caught fire thanks to a feature on the hip-hop blog Lyrical Lemonade. Fast forward to February 2018, and the Cole Bennett-directed music video sent the song into overdrive.
I had no idea that Lucid Dreams and All Girls Are the Same were going to blow up. Not like belittling like my songs. I just thought they were, you know, just songs to post.
It wasn't long before Interscope Records signed Juice for a whopping $3 million deal.
So you went from a huge SoundCloud artist to signing with Interscope.
Yeah.
What made you do the deal with Interscope, and how did Interscope ever feel you and hear you and reach out to you?
What made me do that deal was it felt the most home, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I was just waiting for what was best for me. And so we went to a few labels, you know, had a couple meetings and shit, and that was what felt the best. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the best deal, so how could we refuse?
You got a $3 million deal, right?
$3 million. Yeah. That felt good too,
man. Damn, it pissed myself. Yeah.
Yeah, but how soon, like, did people,
everybody was on my dick when by the time I got back home. Like, I got back home, I woke up the next morning, my phone blown up. Like, what you want? Let's smoke. Let's do this. Let's, like, nah, I'm staying in the crib. I'm telling you, bro, that shit weird, bro. Like, that shit changed people.
Critics couldn't get enough of All Girls Are the Same. Sure, it's bratty and over the top, but it's also incredibly catchy and oddly charming, with Juice coming across as a heartbroken guy just trying to figure it all out. Tell me, what's the secret to love? I don't get it. Juice drones in that flat, hypnotic tone of his. It's not flashy, but it cuts deep. Simple, moody, and impossible to forget. Even Pitchfork gave it the nod as best new music. By April, it hit the Billboard Hot 100 at number 92, while Lucid Dreams climbed to number 74. By May, Lucid Dreams had already peaked at number 2 on the Hot 100, becoming one of the most streamed songs of the year.
Man, I'm just making music, man. Spreading my music, bro. Giving people something to relate to.
That same month, he dropped Lean With Me, which hit number 68 on the same chart. The very next day, he finally released his official debut album, Goodbye and Good Riddance.
Goodbye, Good Riddance. It's on all streaming platforms. It's just a piece of myself I put out for people to hear.
Yeah.
Really.
I could have honestly put probably like 30 or 40 other songs on the project. I'm sitting on like a lot of music, so it could have been a whole different project. It was kind of hard to pick and choose what songs to put in.
Think of Goodbye and Good Riddance as a breakup diary, messy, moody, and drenched in teenage drama. Juice WRLD's heartbreak is the star of the show, and he leans into it hard.
You could draw a lot of artistic parallels between this and a lot of the moody, spacey, trap sounds that we've been hearing artists explore over the past few years, but Juice seems to consciously be mixing these sounds with elements of emo music.
The album cover sets the tone. A campy cartoon of Juice peeling out in a car, middle finger raised, leaving his ex in the dust. It's petty, over the top, and yet totally fitting. Juice spends the album singing to a vague you, but let's be real, he's really singing to himself. His heartbreak is loud, performative, and oddly stylish. It's heartbreak chic, and nobody's better at playing the part than Juice WRLD.
How many times have you had your heart broken?
Honestly, probably like once or twice.
Just once or twice?
Yeah.
Now, even though there are some tracks on this thing that I legitimately love and sort of make me look forward to hopefully a brighter future for Juice WRLD, there are plenty of cuts on here where I think vocally, emotionally, lyrically, he does go a little overboard, bordering on being obnoxious or just kind of feeling like the sadness of this record is very forced.
Thankfully, the music doesn't feel stuck. There's a brutal emotional punch to his songs with his weepy groans and emo snarls, perfectly complementing the blunt honesty of his lyrics. Sure, he tends to tell rather than show his feelings, but the immediacy of his emotions keeps the music compelling. Even the simplest sing-song couplets can overshadow clunky lines like, "I'm on the drugs way too much," and get trapped in your head like they were meant to be there all along.
We don't talk about it from a good point of view or a bad point of view. We talk about it from a realistic point of view. So it's like what we're going through, how we feel, if we're with, you know what I'm saying, if we ain't doing it at the moment, if it's, you know what I'm saying, if I'm hurting, you know what I'm saying? Like, It's a realistic point of view when it comes to, like, the shit that motherfuckers experiment with and shit that people, you know, shit that I've been through, so...
What makes the album stand out is its unmistakable emo rap vibe. Nick Mira, Juice WRLD's go-to producer, leans into the mood with syrupy synths and restless trap snares, amplifying the drama of Juice's lyrics. The whole album feels drenched in this sound, a kind of gloomy, emotional fog that ties every track together.
They say that you make, like, sad music, right?
Yeah.
So is that maybe because of a result of that, those, you know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like... the reason why I make that type of music is that's just a part of me touching on emotions that people really be scared to touch on. Like, yeah, so I feel like as far as all the sad music I make, it's either stuff that I may have went through, stuff that my, you know, my homie may have went through, just something that I feel like people need to relate to and stuff to get them through shit. That's really be the source behind that shit.
On June 19th, he released a 2-song EP titled Too Soon as a tribute to late rappers Lil Peep and XXXTentacion.
I felt like it was very important to memorialize X and Peep because they are people that have changed music for everybody. I had no type of relationship with Peep at all. I was really speaking from a fan standpoint. But with Josh say, I don't want to say we were friends, but we had quite a few deep conversations. He had nothing but positive advice to get me and, you know, just like trying to give me guidance and stuff. You know, he was a very intelligent, talented person. All you can do, you keep them in your hearts, remember them for all like the great things that they've done and learn from their mistakes so you won't end up in the same situation.
Lil Peep had passed away from an overdose in 2017 while X was tragically murdered just one day before the EP's release.
Me and X planned to hang out. We had a couple like deep conversations, talked on the phone a few times. He had nothing but positive stuff to say, for real, from his point of view. We didn't really see eye to eye like that, but we had respect for each other at the end of the day. That's what was gonna kind of lead into a friendship. It's two different personalities. His mindset is on a whole nother, you know what I'm saying?
The following month, Juice released Wasted featuring Lil Uzi Vert. It was his first ever collaborative single and the only track on Goodbye and Good Riddance with a guest feature.
Some people just get high to numb themselves so they won't feel certain things. When you get to a certain point of intoxication, you're unable to operate. Like, your motor skills become very out of pocket.
The song debuted at number 68 on the Hot 100 and peaked at 67 the next week. Later that month, Juice also announced his first tour, World Domination, and most importantly, revealed he was already working on his next album, keeping fans excited for what was coming next.
I ran into some Percocets my freshman year, 14, 15 years old, 13, 14, whatever the fuck the age is. I ran into some Percocets my freshman year. Niggas was calling me and my homie Clucks, right? 2 years later, 3 years later, Future dropped 56 Nights. By the way, Future is the GOAT. Niggas is hitting my phone like, will you get all them perks from them Zans, woo? Like, because of some music. And like I said, I don't know if I said this earlier in here or in some having a convo with somebody else, but hearing that music at such a young age, nigga, I was trying to sip lean in sixth grade. Mm. Dang. Listening to Dirty Sprite 1 and True Story. So it's like, it's the people that doing that shit because they like getting high and they going through stuff and they like addicted. Like, and then there's the people that do it for trends. And for the people that's really into shit, it's not as easy as seeing somebody die. And be like, oh my God, that's a wake up call. I'm gonna stop. It'll make you think like, damn, I don't want that to happen to me. But at the same time, you already addicted. Your body still is screaming for that shit. Right.
October 2019 brought us World on Drugs, the joint mixtape from Future and Juice WRLD.
Like many of these other suddenly dropped collaborative albums from top name rappers, this thing is very much a mixed bag.
Critics may have given it a lukewarm reception, but honestly, this tape is a vibe. From its trippy, vibrant cover art to the euphoric, intoxicating tracks like Shorty, Ain't Living Right, and Hard Work Pays Off, it's an experience that feels both wavy and electrifying. Sure, it's not perfect, but the aesthetic and energy alone make it a standout moment in their catalogs. Jet Lag is pure fire. Juice's hook is impossible to get out of your head, and he, Future, and Young Scooter bounce off each other perfectly. Then comes Astronauts, where Juice and Future flex their chemistry, trading slick bars and flows over an icy trap beat that hits hard. This is what makes this project so enjoyable. Collab albums don't need to reinvent the wheel, but they do need chemistry, and Juice and Future have that in spades. Their melodic, spacey trap sound might not be new for either of them, but when the quality stays high, who cares? Take Hard Work Pays Off, for example. It might be the best track on the album. Juice's hook is ridiculously infectious, and Future rides the beat just as smoothly, riffing on Juice's lines and making them his own. The whole tape is packed with moments like this where the duo just works. There are far more hits than misses, making this collab a solid win.
First time I met Future was actually last year. I started working on the project, Chalice Studios, and I think that's West Hollywood. When he had made Beast Mode 2, Wi-Fi lit, and I posted like, oh, this is fire, because it's fire. He responded to me on Twitter. Yeah. We locked in and made the World on Drugs project.
If we're being real, Juice carried the album. But let's stop acting like Future didn't bring anything to the table. Sure, he's not a lyrical powerhouse, but his melodies, hooks, and overall style helped shape the tape's vibe. And here's the kicker. This collab wasn't just a creative move. It was a strategic one. It put Juice in front of Future's massive fan base, giving him the boost that turned him into a household name. Keep hating if you want, but this partnership worked exactly how it was supposed to.
What is it that drives you to go that hard, though?
the love for music, that shit is like, music gets me high. You know, other people say that, but like, I think this shit really gets me high.
Right.
It puts me in another place. Music is, it has intoxicating effects on me and my soul. So like, I've always been attracted to music. And then to be able to have a platform to make the thing that I'm attracted to and be like the creator of the shit that mm-hmm. people fuck with, it puts me in just a mindset where that's all I want to do. I love performing too, but I think I love recording the most. I love creating and recording the most.
Just a few months later, in March 2019, Juice dropped his second studio album, Death Race for Love.
I kind of got the idea from one of the songs on the project called Alphine and or Rider. The song's called Rider. Twisted Metal was one of my favorite games coming up.
It's like, cool.
It's like a death race game.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I'd just incorporate Twisted Metal and like a death race to like hanging on to a relationship or doing what you have to do to maintain a relationship or going through hell to fix something or to get somebody back. It's just pretty much what it consists of. But the album is it's a little bit of everything. It's not just rap. It's not just rock. It's not just jazz. It's like a little bit of everything.
It kicks off with Empty, where Juice lays it all out, admitting he uses drugs to numb his pain.
That's something that I feel like a lot of people neglect, which is completely, utterly wrong. And me speaking from an African-American man, I know that this stuff is neglected in like our community. You know, you tell your mom, your dad, your auntie, whoever, that you feel like you got anxiety.
This raw honesty carries into tracks like Robbery, where Juice's slam poet style takes center stage. In a cinematic moment, he channels John Cusack from Say Anything, trying to win back his girl with lines like, "I'm throwing rocks at your window, I need to go home." Juice might be open about his emotions, but he's still cautious. Case in point, he names a song Emotions, as if poking fun at his own vulnerability to keep his masculinity intact. This duality runs through his music. And in this album, Juice comes across as a Jekyll and Hyde embodiment, caught between love and hate, passion and indifference. One moment he's infatuated, the next he's spiraling, his world flipping between obsession and apathy. It's messy, it's chaotic, and it's what makes him so compelling.
Just me getting my thoughts out there and me like kind of pouring my soul out on the beats. It's like me venting. And that's funny you said that, because I've literally said before that my music are like my therapy sessions, but there's no confidentiality. I put it out there for people to receive, reevaluate, and learn. Grab my hand and walk with me through whatever they may be going through, you know?
This album brings three guests to the table, and they're a mixed bag. Brent Fayaz delivers a surprisingly smooth interlude that feels like a detour but a welcome one. Young Thug does what he does best, bring chaotic, zany energy. Then there's Clever, whose feature feels more like a gimmick, making it painfully clear just how far ahead Juice is from his emo rap peers. He isn't some punk artist cashing in on hip-hop because it's trendy. He's a rapper with deep, diverse influences who could have easily pivoted into a pop punk and left rap behind, but he didn't. Instead, Death Race for Love captures Juice in his rawest form, channeling every influence and emotional struggle into music that's as authentic as it is vulnerable. This is Juice at his core, messy, honest, and unmistakably himself.
It's like a basketball player at his court. It's a passion of mine. I love creating. That's the best way I can express myself. I could express myself in song sometimes more than I could talk, you know? So, like, I don't know. It's my version of writing down in a diary, so.
One of the main reasons Juice WRLD resonated so deeply with Gen Z was his raw relatability. He didn't just talk about his feelings, he laid them all out in plain view. While many rappers cautiously revealed their struggles, Juice never hid his. His openness made him a beacon for fans who were fighting their own battles, seeing him as someone who truly understood. But nobody could have predicted the heartbreak of December 8th, 2019.
Juice WRLD seemed to be on top of the world, his music career exploding, the video for his hit Lucid Dreams with almost 400 million views on YouTube. This morning, so many questions as to how a seemingly healthy 21-year-old could die so unexpectedly.
Juice's private jet from Los Angeles to Chicago landed into a storm of federal agents, tipped off about guns and drugs on board. The search uncovered 70 pounds of marijuana, and witnesses later revealed Juice had swallowed multiple Percocets as the police inspected the plane.
Everybody thinks, you know, there was this, I don't know, it was on TMZ or whatever, that like, oh, Juice knew the cops were coming, so took a handful of pills, and like, that's not what happened. I'm like, Juice did drugs, yes, you know what I mean, but he didn't try to hide them, or that he literally, like, someone else held the duffel bag and had all the, like, there'd be no possible way for anybody to eat that amount of pills and think it's gonna be okay. And like, Juice didn't want to die, he wasn't gonna kill himself, he knew he wasn't gonna get in trouble, he had people around him that were gonna take care of, you know what I mean? Like, so like, we were even sitting there in the lobby and his manager G Money walks up to him, they're both just like, we're all good. You're like, yeah. They like high five each other. Like, don't worry, we're all good. Everything's gonna be cool. And then it was like, within a minute or two, he just started having a seizure right there in the lobby. Like, as they were like searching the bags and stuff like that. And then, that's when like all the chaos broke loose. He made this weird noise. It was like something I've never heard.
What followed was devastating. Juice began seizing and convulsing. Emergency responders tried to save him with naloxone, but by the time he reached Advocate Christ Medical Center, it was too late, and he was only 21.
And when I looked at him in the eyes, it's like, you could see that he wasn't there. But it seemed like forever before the ambulance came, and then I think the lady got the Narcan, they gave him Narcan. They finally got him in the ambulance, or in the stretcher, and they took him in the ambulance or whatever, and then they're like, whose bag is this? You know, like, that one was mine, and I was getting arrested. But they were like, he's gonna be okay. I mean, I saw him and he didn't look okay, but they were like, he's gonna be okay. And then, I mean, I didn't find out he was gone until I was in jail. Like, I was just in the holding cell, and then I was like, just, you know, handcuffed to the fucking wall, and just two detectives just walked in. They're like, literally verbatim, they're like, we don't give a shit about anything else, we just want to know about the kid that died. And I was like, what? I'm like, who died?
He was just 21 years old. Police say he suffered some sort of medical emergency this morning at Chicago's Midway Airport. They haven't said yet exactly what caused his death. Higgins was named the top new artist at the 2019 Billboard Music.
Weeks later, his cause of death was confirmed, an overdose of oxycodone and codeine. His funeral took place on December 13th, 2019, at the Holy Temple Cathedral Church of God in Christ in Harvey, Illinois. Family, friends, and collaborators gathered to say their final goodbyes to this fragile artist. The flood of posthumous releases from Juice WRLD's management is polarizing. To some, it's a celebration of his creativity. To others, it reeks of exploitation, a predatory move to profit from a legacy that should have been left untouched.
I didn't hear all those songs. I start hearing them after he passed. I'm like, dad, he was talking about, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know he was saying all that shit, man. Like, did you hear the shit?
Yeah.
He was saying, like, basically, like, he wanted to, like, he wanted to die some shit, man. And that shit, like, that shit hit me, like, bro, I cried, though, like, listening to some of that shit.
Yeah.
Out of respect, I'll steer clear of reviewing his posthumous work. That said, Fighting Demons is an exception worth noting. Curated by Juice's estate and closest friends, it feels like a cry for change. The interludes, featuring Eminem and Juice himself, and the carefully chosen tracks send a vital message. Don't idolize our mistakes, but please learn from them.
So how do you not deal with the same way? How do you not end up like X? How do you not end up like Peep? How do you, like...
You learn from people's mistakes. You learn from people's downfalls. That's the only reason why I used to like history. Like, the class history, mm-hmm. like social studies and all that, because you're talking about empires falling and people getting slaughtered and people taking over other people's land and learn from other people's mistakes. You see what people was lacking at, people was slipping at. You learn from their mistakes. So I think that's another reason why I know what I know now, is because that's how I always looked at life. Learning from my own mistakes, learning from other people's mistakes. You can save a lot of pain and struggle by learning from other people's shit, but sometimes you have to learn, you know, from your own mistakes type shit.
It's not just an album. It's a call to action for fans to confront their struggles and find the courage to seek help. A message Juice WRLD tragically didn't get to fully live out himself.
I think the main advice I give myself is just to not give up and keep striving and stay sober.